You are now listening to the Fantasy Filler Podcast, where we put you in the driver's seat every week, all year long. In the NASCAR racing world, from top news stories, latest results, and best fantasy lineups, we'll have you up to speed and out in front before the drop of the green flag. So let's dive in with our host, Vanilla Wafers.
Unbelievable. That is the best word to describe here this weekend at Chicago Street Course. Absolute carnage, absolute excitement, and a lot of first-time moments here in the NASCAR racing world. We got to talk about the final results for the Cup Series and Xfinity Series, as well as the biggest takeaways and the biggest news to come out of this weekend. That and more on today's episode of the Fantasy Filler Podcast. I hope you guys had an opportunity to watch a street course race. I really hope you did. Yes, unfortunately, it was delayed, but wow, what an absolute crazy weekend it was. At first, it looked like it was going to be the lowest of lows, and it ended up being probably one of the best races of the season. I really can't find a race that is comparable to this besides Kansas and the Coca-Cola 600. And those are some big races to be a part of because the road courses have really been struggling this year in the Cup Series. And then we had this race, and it blew everything out of the water. My expectations were really low for this event. And in a way, I'm kind of glad I kept them low because anything that was better than mediocrity was going to be a good showing for me. And I got way more than that. So lots of stuff to talk about here this weekend. But it wasn't all gumdrop and rainbows because the Xfinity Series had probably one of the worst races of the 2023 season, which is quite shocking because you had one of the best races on Sunday and then one of the worst races on Saturday. And I don't know how much you can blame NASCAR on this. I think it's just been some of the worst luck that I have seen in a very, very long time. I think the only thing comparable to this may be 2019. I think it was 2019 where we had so many rain delays at almost every single race we attended. And this year has felt about the same. We've had the plague of rain at almost every single event this year, whether it's in the Xfinity Series, Truck Series, or Cup Series. And I will not be surprised if Atlanta Motor Speedway suffers from some rain delays there next week. That's just how it's been here in the NASCAR racing world. And the series that got the worst end of it was the Xfinity Series. The 16th race of the season is probably going to go down as the worst race of the year. So we're going to talk about that super quickly and what this means in the future for the Xfinity Series in the Chicago Street Course. So let's dive into it. Without further ado, here's the final results for the Loop 121. So in this race, we had a total of 43 cars on the entry list. It's definitely one of the biggest entry lists that we have seen in quite a while here for the Xfinity Series. Maybe the only one that's close to it is the Daytona 500. Of course, the Daytona 500 surpassed this. But it was such a hype event that many teams wanted to run in this event. Unfortunately, five cars were not able to race in it. And those five cars were the number 91 of Dexter Bean for DGM Racing. Then you had the number 45 of Jeffrey Earnhardt. He did not make it in on speed for Alpha Prime Racing. After him was the 08 of Joey Gase for SS Greenlight Racing, the number 74 of Dawson Cram for CHK Racing, and finally the number 66 of Dexter Stacy for NBM Motorsports. Those five drivers were not able to make it into the main show. With that being said, we had a total of 38 cars running this main event. We had a total of three cautions for nine laps and zero lead changes in this race. Only one driver led this entire race, and unfortunately, it was only for 25 laps. And if you guys are aware, 121 divided by 2.2 is a lot less than 25. That is because we unfortunately had rain delays, and they were trying to start the second half of the race on Sunday, and then we had the biggest downpour that Chicago has seen in over 70 years is what it sounded like, maybe 50 years. I don't know. It was a very, very long time. It had flash flood warnings, and they decided that this race would not be continued. So after 55 miles, they decided to call it, which is a big bummer for a lot of people who were really excited to see how this race turned out. But the winner of the race, he still gets the victory, and he's going to be credited for leading every single lap, and that is going to be the 00 of Cole Custer. He started on the pole, won both stage one and stage two, did everything he needed to do, just stay out front, and that's exactly what he was able to accomplish as he is able to get another win here in the 2023 season. I don't think there's really any fear about Cole Custer here in the Xfinity Series now. The first half was a bit rough, but definitely here going into the summer stretch, he is on absolute fire. He's been able to get two victories at road courses here most recently, and more than likely moving down and through the summer stretch, there's going to be plenty more races where he is going to be a top competitor. I don't see him slowing down. Everyone was talking about Austin Hill and John Hunter Nemechek being the top dogs. John Hunter Nemechek still shows that speed as he was able to finish second in both stage one, stage two, and second overall. But Cole Custer has been having that slight advantage. So Cole Custer can now put his name in the mix as a championship contender. And even though this race was rain shortened, like I said, he had a very dominant car. Nonetheless, if this race would have went all the way to the end, I'm pretty sure he would have been able to lead about 99% of the race, if not 100% of the race. That's just how good he was in that 00 car. So good job for Stuart Haas Racing and great job for Cole Custer. As mentioned, John Hunter Nemechek was able to finish second. I'm pretty sure he is happy about that, especially after the rough turnout he had over at Portland when he had a fast car for there. But unfortunately, things did not pan out at the end as he got into too many problems for himself. So for him to be able to finish second here in this race, I'm pretty sure he's not going to be upset about that at all. And third spot was number seven, Justin Allgaier. Pretty decent run for him. He's starting to show he's consistently a top five contender, so good run for him. Then in the fourth spot, the best finish for AM Racing, the number 25 of Brett Moffitt. Still being one of the most impressive single car teams in the Xfinity Series. They're doing a great job each race, week in and week out, and this by far is their best performance. Able to score 11 points in stage points and then finish fourth overall here in this race. They got to be super happy about that. That gets them even closer there to the cutoff line for the Xfinity Series playoffs. And if this team can make it in their debut full-time season with Brett Moffitt, a driver who's been really tossed around with a lot of Xfinity Series teams, that would be amazing for this driver and for this organization as a whole, because they were struggling down the Truck Series. And for them to move up to the Xfinity Series and have good finishes like this already, this early into their career as a team in the Xfinity Series, hey, bravo to Brett Moffitt and bravo to AM Racing. Finishing out the top five was the number 21 of Austin Hill. That's where he mostly hung around here in this race, was in the fifth position, so he can't be upset about that at all. Just a little bit behind the front two drivers here who are going to be his main competitors for the championship. Still, he's going to be happy with the top five. And let's complete the rest of the top 10 here. The number 18 of Sammy Smith finished sixth, the top finishing rookie, followed by the number 11 of Daniel Hemric. Then we had the number 16 of Chandler Smith, and then you have the number 48 of Parker Kligerman finishing ninth. And rounding up the top 10 was the number 26 of Kaz Grala. Now, here's a bit of bad news. Nine of the top 10, actually from nine on to first, scored stage points in both stages. Kaz Grala was only able to score stage points in the second stage, and the only other driver to score stage points was Connor Mozak. Unfortunately for him, he got caught up in an early incident in the middle of stage one and stage two, was not able to recover, and due to the rain that came in, he never had himself an opportunity to get himself back up front, so he finishes 35th overall in this race. Had some problems for the number 92 of Josh Williams, as Josh Williams had some problems from the very get-go. He is going to be credited with the 36th position. Andre Castro able to get the number 34 team of Jesse Iwuji Racing into the show. Unfortunately, he got caught up in an accident of his own doing, and it just ended his day as on lap 18, he ran into the wall. He was already a couple laps down as it was, but unfortunately, he was not able to continue, so he finishes 37th. And then Justin Marks, probably the most talked about driver who was running in this event, unfortunately blew an engine on lap number 3. Not able to compete at all here in this race for stages or anything like that because his race was done very, very quickly. So big bummer for the number 10 car and Justin Marks. I know he was super excited here for this race, and I was expecting a really good run from him being able to run in the top 5. But you always have that fear when it comes to road courses, engine problems. Road courses are very, very hard on the engines. Doesn't matter if it's Sonoma, doesn't matter if it's Watkins Glen, Circuit of the Americas, a street course. these engines will be put to the test. And sometimes these engines will not make it past even 10 miles. And Justin Marks was unfortunately one of those drivers who did not make it past 10 miles. Other than that, not really too much really to say about this race. Good shout out to Sheldon Creed for him able to try to make his way back up into the top 10. I was really curious to see how he was going to be able to do here in this race, because I do believe he got sent to the back as he had to go with a backup car, and he was still able to come back and finish 11th. So if this race would have ran to completion, that may have been a person that was going to be a close contender to Cole Custer, because we know how good he is at road courses, just didn't get the opportunity to. And some shout-outs for some drivers that we usually don't see here up front here in the top 20. We have the number 50 of Preston Pardis running a part-time schedule. He finishes 12th, so you know that 50 team is super excited. Miguel Peludo in the number 88 able to finish 13th, and Kyle Weatherman in the number 4 finishes 14th. I mean, give this driver all the credit in the world. I really hope he gets an opportunity in that 8 car because he absolutely deserves it. But other than that, there really isn't that much to talk about here in this race. Hardly any passing. I mean, for the lead, there was no passing at all. The only one who was able to really get around anybody was Sheldon Creed and Kaz Grala. That was about it. So it's definitely a big bummer for the Xfinity Series. It's not NASCAR's fault. Honestly, it's just bad luck. You get a lightning strike, and then you get a rainstorm, and then you get the worst rainstorm in over 50 years. There's just nothing else to say. So memorability-wise, I think it's going to be like a 1 out of 10. No one's ever going to remember this race. Maybe they'll only remember it because it's like, hey, that's one of the shortest races in Xfinity Series history, which I think is true. And not the shortest in Cup Series history, that is for sure, because we had some races that used to be 50 miles or less in the Cup Series back in the old days. But here in the Xfinity Series, I don't think there's really going to be one anywhere close to this. But just unfortunate circumstances, which begs the question, will the Xfinity Series return here to the Chicago Street Course if the Cup Series returns back to the Chicago Street Course? I see no reason why they shouldn't, because, like I said, this race had a lot of viewership for the Cup Series. We'll talk about that here in a bit. And there was a lot of hype behind it. And I always believe now in today's age, you have to have at least two of the top three divisions racing at one racetrack. You really do. Because if you only have one show there, I bet you you're not going to get hardly anybody attending that race unless it's Mid-Ohio. Mid-Ohio is like one of the only exceptions, or Iowa Speedway maybe even. But when you have a Cup Series race at an event, make sure to have either the Truck Series or the Xfinity Series there. And if they come back here, they got to give the Xfinity Series another chance. Just a real bad turnout for this race as a whole, just because you really couldn't do much with the weather. Even with the wet tire package, they needed boats, basically, to complete this race. Now it is time to move on to the big one, however. It is time to now dive into the 18th race of the 2023 season. We have officially hit the halfway point, so without further ado, it is now time to dive into the Grant Park 220 at Chicago, Illinois. Holy crap, I just realized something. I was able to talk about the Xfinity Series race for almost 8 to 10 minutes. There's no reason why it shouldn't have lasted that long, but hey, I guess I have a talent of trying to stretch things out, I guess. There's just no other way to put that. But anyway, let's dive on here to this race. We had a total of 38 cars on the entry list. Unfortunately, one car had to withdraw, and that was the number 84 of Jimmy Johnson for reasons that we talked about in the last episode. Still a tragic situation. I hope we see Jimmy Johnson in that number 84 car here sometime in the future for the 2023 season. But we only had one open charter car, and that was the number 91 team, Project 91 of Shane Van Gisbergen. We'll talk about him in a second. We had a total of 9 cautions for 21 laps. Unfortunately, this race was delayed for 90 minutes due to how much water was on the racetrack, because, like I said, we had the biggest rainfall in Chicago for many decades, so it took them a very, very long time to at least make the track drivable for the rain tires. That's just how bad it was. But 9 cautions for 21 laps. The race got shortened to 78 laps due to the sun setting. Unfortunately, this track does not have track lights. It does have city lights, but that's not going to be enough for these guys to run around that racetrack. And we had 7 lead changes amongst 5 different drivers. In the end, though, the open charter car got the victory. And in his first start in a Cup Series event, Shane Van Gisbergen in the number 91 collects the huge victory for Project 91. This is the first time in over 60 years since we've had a driver be able to get into victory lane, just their first start here in the NASCAR Cup Series. Absolutely unbelievable. And Shane Van Gisbergen, all the credit, and Project 91. These guys put on one heck of a show, and definitely the biggest upset that I can remember in a very, very long time in NASCAR. Finishing second, we have the number 31 of Justin Haley. A pit strategy worked out really, really well for him. He went down pit road before they decided to shorten the race, so it really worked in his favor, so he was able to finish second after starting 37th in the final position. That would have been crazy if the person who started last won the race. That almost happened, but for Justin Haley, unfortunately, he was not able to hold off the number 91 machine. Finishing third, we have the number 9 of Chase Elliott. Again, Chase Elliott somehow, some way, is able to finish in the top 5, even though he did not have a car that should have been running inside the top 10. Then the fourth place position, we have the number 5 of Kyle Larson. And fifth, we have the number 5 of Kyle Busch. Finishing sixth, the number 2 of Austin Cindric. Again, he was also on that pit strategy. Worked out in his favor. And the driver who's been struggling at road courses that really shouldn't be struggling actually got a good finish. So credit to him on being able to finish sixth. In the seventh spot was the number 34 of Michael McDowell, an overall great run here in this number 34 machine, as he was able to finish fifth in both the stages, as well as finish seventh here in this race. So phenomenal win. He was able to score the second most fantasy points here in this weekend. Actually scratched that third most, as Kyle Larson was able to get 46 points, while Michael McDowell was able to get 42. Then the eighth spot was the number 22 of Joey Logano, another person on that strategy, followed by the number 54 of Ty Gibbs. It's crazy to think that Ty Gibbs was a top finishing Toyota here in this race, as the Toyotas dominated the first half of the race. But the way things worked out, Ty Gibbs in the number 54 was able to finish ninth and be the representative for Joe Gibbs Racing. And rounding up the top 10, still has his streak going. The number 17 of Chris Buescher with another top 10, able to get it there right at the end in that number 17 machine. He finishes 10th overall here in this race. There's so much to talk about here. I'm first going to talk about our fantasy picks and whether or not they were good options to go with or not. Let's first start off with Denny Hamlin being the pole sitter. Did not get any stage points because he spun out early in the race. Denny Hamlin, he might be the pole sitter, but there's no guarantee that he's going to be worth anything for fantasy. I mean, 11th place finish is not the end of the world, but we expected way more out of him. Just making those mistakes at critical moments, I don't know what Denny Hamlin can do now at this point to be able to be getting the victory here at a road course. It seems like everything happens to him in the inaugural Indy road course race. He was there when it mattered the most, and Chase Briscoe took him out. Then you have the Sonoma race. Has one of the fastest cars, keeping up with Martin Truex Jr. He makes a big mistake. Then he's able to qualify first here in the Chicago street course race, and he spins out super early, never able to recover. I guess Denny Hamlin's still going to be one of those wild cards. Expect him to start up front, but don't expect him to finish up there at the same time. The number 19 of Martin Truex Jr., this one was definitely a big bummer for a lot of people because he did look really strong here in this race. And unfortunately, there near the end, he was just making a lot of big mistakes. He was spinning out left and right. I do believe one incident was totally not his fault. Who did he get taken out by? I think it was Corey LaJoie. Don't quote me on that one. But Martin Truex Jr. went from being one of the top contenders, or at the very least a top 10 runner, and then just fell down the leaderboard one by one by one by one until he went a lap down, never able to recover, and 32nd overall here in this race. There's just not much really to say, except, yep, that's an absolute bummer for the Martin Truex Jr. fans because we know how talented he is at road courses this year. I do believe he's still worth a shot at Watkins Glen for sure. The Indy road course race, it is going to be determined on how he does in both practice and qualifying in that race. But overall, the finish definitely a bummer because he had himself a really fast car here in this event. Another person who had a fast car was the number 45 of Tyler Reddick, second and third in the stages, and then he also got caught up in multiple incidents. This one was just this almost similar to Martin Truex Jr., except it happened a little bit sooner for him. Ran into the tire barrier in turn six, and he spent multiple laps, one lap down, and was never able to get that lap back for the longest time. He was able to do it there at the end, but it was still too late. He finishes 28th overall in this race. Tyler Reddick's still showing that he is a strong road course racer. He was just pushing it a little too hard there in the middle of the race, and it cost him dearly as he finished 28th. I still think he's worth a spot in fantasy. Just was not there at the end, but keep an eye on him. I don't think it's over for him when it comes to road courses, especially at the Indy road course. Kyle Larson, he was very consistent here in this race, running around the top five, so he was worth the value as a top pick. Christopher Bell was probably the only driver that could keep up with Shane Van Gisbergen there near the end. And then he did the same exact thing that the other Toyotas did. The Toyotas just were too aggressive in certain spots when they really didn't need to be. It happened to Denny Hamlin, happened to Martin Truex Jr., happened to Christopher Bell, happened to Tyler Reddick. It's funny to think that the only one who did not have trouble was the rookie. The rookie was the only one who did not have any trouble here in this road course event in the Toyota camp, because Bubba Wallace, he had himself a really bad race as well. He ran into the number 47 of Ricky Stenhouse Jr. at full throttle near the end because he went into a wet spot. So every single Toyota had issues except for Ty Gibbs. That's just crazy to think. This was Toyota's race to lose, and they lost it big time. So yes, I do believe they were considered top picks, but as far as execution, they fell apart. So they are definitely, they hurt a lot of teams, including my own, because I know I had Denny Hamlin, and I know I had Tyler Reddick. So at least I went with Denny Hamlin over Martin Truex Jr. or Christopher Bell, but I'm still not happy with that result. As far as the mid-tier picks go, they were a little wishy-washy. AJ Allmendinger, he did a pit strategy. Well, he did not do the pit strategy. He was one of those drivers who kind of stayed in line with everybody else, but he was not able to move up through the field as he finishes 17th overall. Kind of a bummer because he was definitely a top 10 car. I don't think he was ever contender to win this race, but still very consistent. I still expect him to do really good at the Indy Road Course in Watkins Glen. This is just one of those races where you had to take a gamble if you wanted to be near the front, and AJ Allmendinger played it really safe. And I mean, the winner of the race also played it really safe at the same time, but at the same time, he was also being super aggressive. I don't think AJ Allmendinger was trying to be nearly as aggressive as some of those drivers who were able to move up the field. So that's a bummer. He finished 17th overall here in this race. Expected a better performance out of him. Daniel Suarez once again chokes. And this one is another one that hurts because he was also a top seven car. Then he goes way too hard in one of the turns and he ruins his car and he has no chance of coming back. I don't know if Daniel Suarez has a lot of pressure on him right now because he's right there by the playoff cutoff line. But gosh, these races where he should be doing good, he's not performing. And this is another one of those examples. He's got an executor race. Otherwise, he's going to be known as the next Ryan Blaney for road courses. And that is not a good comparison because Ryan Blaney, that affected him really bad. It really did, not being able to finish those races. And if this starts happening to Daniel Suarez, expect him to go down that same tumble. He still has speed. He still has speed. We cannot shy away from that because he does have talent in that realm. He's just got to be smarter there near the end of the race, and he just hasn't been doing it. So I think he's going to be more of a riskier pick from here on out when it comes to these road course events. He's either going to finish inside the top 10, or the same exact thing that's going to happen here and at Sonoma is going to happen for that number 99 machine, which I don't think a lot of people are really too excited about. We had Kyle Busch finish fifth. Like I said, he was going to do some crazy strategy to wind up front, and he did. He finished fifth overall in this race. Same thing with Joey Logano finishing eighth. I know they weren't really scored the most points in the world, but if that was your fifth pick, I mean, you're going to be happy about that. I mean, 32 points or 29 points, you really can't be upset at all. So for them to be able to get that strategy out for you guys, hey, thumbs up for you. Ty Gibbs, he did exactly what he needed to as a mid-tier pick, so we're really happy with that one. And then the gamble category, up, down, and all around. Shane Van Gisbergen, I felt like he was going to be a great gamble pick to finish in the top five. I did not expect him winning the race, but if you have that number 91 car in your team, you are happy for multiple reasons because he got you a win. He also saved you some of your top picks because we're not using that Project 91 or Shane Van Gisbergen. at all for the rest of the season. Maybe Project 91, but Shane Van Gisbergen, this is his only race for the season. And for him to get the victory, I mean, a lot of people have to be super happy about that. If you used him in a one race or one driver per race league, then you're going to be super excited about that too. I did that just because I was just like, screw it, I'm going to throw a dart at the wall and see if it works. And it hit the bullseye. So that was definitely the best gamble. Hopefully you put money on that because holy crap, no one expected the New Zealand driver to wind up in victory lane. I mean, what more can you say? Number 15 of Jenson Button. Jenson Button was looking really good there at the beginning. And then he made a mistake going on to pit road. And Chris Buescher was not prepared for that and spun him out. I don't think it was on purpose by any means, but that unfortunately cost him an opportunity to get a solid finish. I think if Jenson Button does not get spun out right there, he finishes probably 14th or 13th here in this race. I don't think he would have been someone who would have stayed out in strategy because he would have been there near the front. But it was still a decent performance for Jenson Button. I'm really hoping that he gets another opportunity to be able to run a Stuart Haas racing car. I think he has one more race. Don't quote me on that for sure, but I feel like he had one more race that he was going to run with this team. So let's see what happens there, because Jenson Button's showing some improvement. But again, he has to be a little bit smarter when entering pit road. Number 17, Chris Buescher, got you the top 10. Happy with that gamble. The number 7, Corey LaJoie, he was kind of all over the place. He was kind of the guy who was causing the most problems here in this race, minus the number 42 of Noah Gregson. So, I mean, he finished 14th. So, I guess, okay gamble, but you want someone to finish in the top 10, so maybe not. And then the number 34, Michael McDowell, finishing 7th. 5th in both the stages. I don't think he's really a gamble anymore. He's going to be a mid-tier pick at the minimum when it comes to road course events, because that's now back-to-back great showings by this number 34 team. And they may not be at the same performance as they were last year, getting all those top 10s, but they're still running in a really good position to put them as a factor to make it into the cutoff line. And that's the most you can ask for out of this number 34 team. So I'm happy with Michael McDowell. I'm really happy about his performance, his overall great showing. Like I said, only two people beat him in fantasy points, and that was Kyle Larson and Shane Van Gisbergen. Two of the gamble drivers were top picks, so that was a lot of fun. And this race just did everything that it needed to, except for start on time. That was the only thing. Unfortunately, concerts were postponed. Actually, they were just canceled overall, so that was a bit of a bummer. The starting command was inside a room, so people were not able to see the Chicago Bear players, Justin Fields to be specific, be able to get the starting command, which is kind of a bummer. But they did what they could have done with the weather, and they performed on all expectations. You saw strategy. You saw passing at a racetrack that no one really expected to pass. That was my biggest concern. And that concern honestly disappeared near the middle of stage two, because yes, you had Christopher Bell and Tyler Reddick dominating the race, but there was still a lot of passing going on. There really was in the middle of the field. And there was side-by-side racing. And remember, Shane Van Gisbergen, he did not start in that third position. He started out in the mid-teens, maybe more around 20th position, and he was able to pass all those drivers and get up to the front. So there was indeed passing here in this race. So these cars have shown that they can put on a good show for the fans when it comes to road courses. They, for some reason, just struggle tremendously with Sonoma. They've struggled tremendously with Road America. They struggled in the Charlotte Roval. But this flat surface racetrack really did work out. So I kind of see a little bit on what NASCAR was trying to do with this Gen 7 car when it came to road courses. And this is a car that a lot of drivers outside of NASCAR can run as well. It's more competitive field than Shane Van Gisbergen, able to jump into this car and be able to dominate. Now, what does that mean for NASCAR? Is this a good thing or is this a bad thing that Shane Van Gisbergen was able to win this race? Because yes, you have this opens up the door for teams to open up an additional team for multiple races when it comes to road courses. Like you have Project 91. Now you have 2311 running that 67 car. The 62 car is from trying to run more races. Maybe you have someone like Rick Ware Racing have a third car if they want to have someone like Cole Custer move on up. That's just me throwing something out. But Front Row Motorsports has a third car. You know, Colic Racing has a third car. This could really open up doors for teams to add an additional car for multiple races. And I think if you're going to have charter teams, then the open charter cars are mostly going to be made by teams who already have charters in. I think that's going to be the only way this thing works, because you're having a lot of non-charter teams run hardly any races at all. They either run the Daytona 500 or maybe the Coca-Cola 600, and that's about it. I'm very surprised that the money racing team wasn't here at this race, because I thought that 50 car for sure was going to try to make it in. But if we want to see 40-car fields again, maybe this is going to be the way it's going to happen. For some of these two-car, three-car teams to open up their wallets and have an opportunity for a supercar driver, maybe an IndyCar driver, to hop into their car and be able to compete. Because Shane Van Gisbergen was able to do it. Why not have someone that maybe have the similar talent to Marcus Ambrose run at Watkins Glen or the Indianapolis Road Course? I mean, you're going to have that Japan driver for 2311 running that number 67 car. I'm very curious to see how he's able to do in that race. And if he's able to run around the top 10, oh my gosh, then there's no reason these teams should be able to do that. Now, does it look bad for the NASCAR drivers? I don't really think so. I really don't. I've never looked down on NASCAR drivers who have a ringer be able to come in and beat them. Because you're going to have ringers for the super speedways and you're going to have ringers for the road course. There are just racetracks that drivers are going to specialize at. It happened quite a few years back with Borsette and Scott Pruitt. Scott Pruitt finished second in a race. Robbie Gordon, he won a few road course races. Did I look down on people like Kevin Harvick, Matt Kenseth, Kyle Busch, those drivers who were not able to beat those ringers? Not at all. And I thought maybe I was going to be a little concerned about that. But once my friend started talking to me about it, I was like, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. This is not going to hurt the driver's reputation at all. It's just going to push them to drive even harder, because it will show even a bigger accomplishment. Like, I am beating the best out of the best out here. Because Shane Van Gisbergen, he's no just regular schmuck. He was able to win three championships, and the only reason he's not running in NASCAR right now is he's still competing in the Supercar Series, where, again, he could win another championship. He won 2022 and 2021. He's a super talented driver, but if you have one of these drivers like Chase Elliott or Kyle Larson or Tyler Reddick able to beat people like Shane Van Gisbergen or people like who was the other driver who drew up the number 91? Oh my gosh, I'm really drawing a blank. Kimi Raikkonen. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry for all the Formula One fans. But if you're able to beat drivers like that who are considered the greatest drivers in the world, oh my gosh, you got to be on cloud nine. So there are benefits, actually a lot more benefits than there are disadvantages. And I think this number 91 car winning is huge for the sport. And if you don't believe me, look at the viewership that came here from this race. The Chicago Street Course is NBC Sports' most watched NASCAR race in 6 years. Remember, this was a race that was delayed for 90 minutes. 6 years, the most watched NASCAR race. It was the most watched NASCAR race in 6 years since the Indianapolis race in 2017. That race had 5.647 million viewers. This race had 4.795 million viewers. I bet if it started on time, it was going to be able to beat that Indianapolis race, because at its peak, it was at 5.9 million. The most watched NASCAR Cup Series race on any network since the Daytona 500. Only the Daytona 500 beat it. And it's almost impossible to beat the Daytona 500. It's the biggest race of the year. People just tune in just to watch that race and see how crazy it's going to be. I get it. Those are the super casual fans. So that one's going to be hard to beat. But it was the second most watched event this year. It was the most watched sporting event of the weekend. It's up 144% versus NBC Sports' second Cup Series race of the 2022 season, which was at Road America. It was up 72% versus NBC Sports' 22 Cup Series average on NBC, which was 2.784 million. And it was also the most streamed NASCAR Cup Series race in NBC Sports history, with 163.5 thousand viewers across Peacock and NBC Sports digital platforms. There was really nothing bad about this race for NASCAR. It really did impress me, and I feel so bad that I put it in. It shouldn't be on the schedule, because this showed me, this race proved me wrong. NASCAR, congratulations, you proved the fans wrong, and I'm glad to be proven wrong. I'm really glad, because I wanted this race to work out. I just did not think a street course was going to work for NASCAR, but by God did it, and this could open the opportunity for more street course races in the future. Maybe, just maybe, if they only want to run one race per year at a racetrack, which could very well happen. I know that rumor keeps circulating a lot. Maybe the Formula One race for Las Vegas could be a similar racetrack that NASCAR does. Maybe you go up to New York. Maybe you go up to Portland. Maybe even Salt Lake City or Denver, Colorado, a place that does not have a race at all anywhere near it. Throw a racetrack there, because fans and just regular spectators were doing everything they can to watch this event. They were on top of buildings, on top of trees, up against the fence. There's really just nothing but good things to come out of this race. I think the only bad thing was there was a big pileup in the middle of it. But at the same time, we really did expect that. Once you have two cars spin out, oh boy, everyone's going to get caught up. But even then, the drivers didn't really destroy their cars. They just got buckled up a little bit, some damage here and there, but nothing horrid. So I still think NASCAR maintained their image. This goes up there near the top. Almost, it's probably the best race of the season for me as of right now. I'm pretty sure when I go back into it here in the future, near the end of the season, maybe my thought process will change, because I'm currently running on cloud nine. But fantastic all around. And I really think NASCAR fans should be really happy with how this event turned out. Now, with that being said, now let's start looking at the playoff standings, because after 18 races, we only have 8 races left in the regular season. So it's really starting to close in. 11 drivers are locked in at this moment, unless we all of a sudden get 6 winners here in these last 8 races, which I really don't see happening. Here are the drivers currently in the playoffs. We have the number 4, Kevin Harvick. He's 151 points above the cut line. Chris Buescher in the number 17 is 104 points above the cut line. Brad Keselowski in the number 6 sits 91 points above the cut line. Then you got Bubba Wallace in 15th at 15 points plus. Then Ty Gibbs is able to move up from the 17th position into the 16th position, as he is inside the playoffs with 378 points. The 4 drivers who are currently on the outside looking in are Daniel Suarez, Michael McDowell, AJ Allmendinger, and Alex Bowman, sitting 6 to 26 points behind the cut line. We got an action-packed spot here for the cutoff line. And you know what? I'm really not upset about that. I'd rather see 12 drivers win and have these final 4 spots be determined by points, because this is bringing some real excitement here. You have, I think Kevin Harvick, Chris Buescher, and Brad Keselowski, unless they really start having some bad finishes, I think they're good. But here for these last 2 spots, it's a battle between these 6 drivers, and you can't count on Chase Elliott, even though he's really struggling right now. He still could sneak in with a victory. These guys are really putting on a good show here down here, and it's going to be very interesting to see. Right now, the Toyotas have the slight advantage, but all Daniel Suarez needs is some good finishes at road courses similar to Michael McDowell and AJ Allmendinger, and Alex Bowman just needs some consistency like he had at the beginning of the season. So this is definitely a really important thing to look at here moving on forward, as we are going to try to determine which will be the drivers who make it into the playoffs and which drivers will come up short. And that will conclude the final results and biggest takeaways from today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Here is the top 3 from the Chicago Street Course series from our Fantasy Sports League. We have 76 members right now, and here are the top 3/4, because we had a tie for the 3rd position. And finishing in the 3rd spot, tied at 211 points, we have Chapman 3 and Fantastic Fusion, both scoring 211 points. Good job to you guys. In the 2nd spot, we have Beer Guy 72 with 216 points. But winning by just 1 point, just 1, was Logan Bowling with 217 points. You guys were the top performers, and you guys had yourself a great showing here at the Chicago Street Course. 10 of you were still able to score 200-plus points, even though we had some drivers like the Toyotas just fall apart. That's really, really good. I unfortunately sat at 177 points, so I finished 21st. I'm not doing too hot right now. I'm sitting 13th overall in the standings. Maybe I can give you guys some good opinions and stuff about which drivers to go with, but for some reason I can't figure it out myself. But here's the top 3 right now for the overall standings. And this is pretty crazy, because 4th, 3rd, and 2nd are within 3 points of each other. In the 3rd spot is Chobi Race Fan at 3,453 points. Hebrew Hammers at 3,454 points. But Redhead 69 is still dominating with 3,554 points. Just great performances by you guys. I'm sitting at a solid 14th. So Fantastic Fusion finished in the top three this week, but he's still only tied with me. So, haha. I'm sorry for whoever Fantastic Fusion is. I'm not trying to give you grief. I'm just trying to have some fun. This has been a really fun league, and I'm so glad that you guys have been able to participate in it. I've had about 55 people on average showing up to these fantasy leagues week in and week out. So you guys have been doing an amazing job. So thank you guys so much for joining that. If you do want to join it, it's fantasygames.nascar.com. And just look up NASCAR Fantasy Fielders League. It's a fun league, and you've had some very, very competitive people. It's hard to make it into that top three. So when you do it, you definitely earn that shout out. If you want to follow me on social media, you can do so at TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, as well as Twitter. On Instagram, I'm at VanillaWafers33. Starting to get a little bit of traction there, almost at 100 followers, which I'm really proud of. We've been getting a few videos on there that have gotten a lot of traction. They've been kind of the goofier NASCAR videos that I post, but hey, I'm still happy. Traction is traction. It's thanks to you guys. So if you want to follow me on there, that's at VanillaWafers33. If you want to follow me on TikTok, where I post most of my NASCAR trivia stuff, find me there at VanillaWafers44. Bigger videos as well as some of that NASCAR trivia can be found on YouTube at VanillaWafers44 as well. Getting very, very close to 5,000 subscribers. I think we're at 4,760, something like that, which is still an unbelievable number. It really is for me. So yeah, at VanillaWafers44 for YouTube. And then at Twitter, if you want to talk to me during race day or just share random shenanigans with me during race day, I don't care. There's no professionalism on Twitter. That's at VanillaWafers44 as well. I was giving Dalton, one of the guests that we saw a couple weeks back, a lot of grief because Kyle Busch wrecked there at the very beginning. But he still beat my guy, so I guess I deserve that. But yeah, Twitter at VanillaWafers33 if you have any questions or want to talk to me. That's the best way to answer or reach out to me. Next week is the Atlanta race. I'm going to try to do the episode maybe more on Friday. I think Saturday was a little too late for some of you guys because the viewership was definitely down, so I apologize for that. But again, we will still do fantasy picks like normal for Atlanta Motor Speedway. It is a night race, so be ready to stay up a little bit late Sunday night. But that will wrap up today's video, guys. I have been your host, Vanilla Wafers, and I have been able to take you to the front of the field. So why don't we grab that checkered flag, do some burnouts, and head on out. So you all take care. This has been the Fantasy Filler Podcast.